I'm not the flower. I don't know that. That looks good too. Give me five. You gonna help me up here today? You gonna sit with me?
Good morning.
They finished up, and I was back there being a greeter, and it's good to see everybody this morning. If we could take just a few minutes to greet your neighbors, turn around, greet the ones behind you, and just wake them up if they need it.
Hi, Kim. Hi, Savetta. Hi, Melanie. Is that good enough?
Well, as I said, it's great to see everybody. I think everybody's a little tired based on everybody I've talked to. I don't know what's going on. I think it's just the heat getting to us, but let's be thankful for that. But it'd be nice to see a little bit of rain. Been teased a lot with it. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? I didn't see any. If everybody would please...
Cindy is back after a long educational... Is it a hiatus? Welcome, Cindy.
I want to be sure and have everybody please sign in. Steve, have those been handed out? If they haven't, if somebody could please take care of that. Thank you very much. On our announcements, you'll see on the insert, there are several announcements, a lot going on within the community. Do want to bring special attention to 2 weeks from today, which is our fifth Sunday, where we will have one service at 9 a.m., and I think followed by breakfast, is that right, brunch? And then that evening, we will have a music fellowship night, and Melanie or Savetta, do you all want to say a little something about that?
Part of the
Wonderful. Do we have any other announcements? Okay. Do we, now's the time we lift up those in prayer. Do we have any prayer requests? Praise requests? Right, everybody on the mission trip to, is it Broken Bow, Oklahoma? I believe they left on Saturday morning. I know there's a lot of preparation for that. We kind of had the rundown of what they're going to be working on, and it sounded like a very full schedule. So definitely lift them up in prayer this week. Any other? Any others? Let's be sure and lift them up in prayer this week. And let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts.
Miss Kathleen. Miss Kathleen. Most people know it, but Kathleen Wagner had TIA, that's many strokes, I think. And she did make it to the wedding, but she is not well. So lift up Miss Kathleen.
Kathleen Wagner. Pause for a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Now is our call to worship, if you will look in your bulletin. The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe.
The word you have spoken are spirit and life, O Lord.
You have the words of eternal life.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 233. Alleluia, sing to Jesus.
Alleluia, sing to Jesus. He is the scepter, He is the throne. Alleluia, is the triumph, is the victory alone. Hark the songs of peaceful giants, thunder like a mighty flood. Jesus, out of every nation, by His blood. Alleluia, not as orphans, nor we left in sorrow now. Alleluia, He is near us, faithful be your questions now. Friend of sinners.
bow together and let's pray to God our Father through His Son Jesus Christ. Lord God, we come this morning with thanksgiving and praise. We come to thank You, Lord, for the many blessings that are ours through Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. And Lord, for what He has done and what He is doing and what He will do in our lives. And we just praise You. And Father, we have not enough words to really do an adequate job, but You accept what we have, and we thank You for it. And Lord, we pray that You will give us boldness, that we might speak forth and sing forth praises unto You. And we come this morning offering ourselves and our worship in the name of Jesus. And now we come praying that prayer that He taught us to pray. And Lord, let it be personal for each of us as we pray it. In Jesus' name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What is it that we believe as Christians, as believers in Jesus? We believe in a number of things, all in the Bible. So let's express our belief through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and a life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it is in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our call to confession is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. If you please join me in unison. Holy God, You see us as we are, and know our inmost thoughts. We confess that we are unworthy of Your gracious care. We forget that all life comes from You, and that to You all life returns. We have not always sought or done Your will. We have not lived as Your grateful children, nor loved as Christ loved us. Apart from You, we are nothing. Only Your grace can sustain us. Lord, in Your mercy, forgive us, heal us, and make us whole. Set us free from our sin, and restore to us the joy of Your salvation, now and forever. If you would continue to confess in silence, please. Amen. The Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. To the one who seeks Him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord.
Turn your heavens now, if you will, please, to Hymn 202, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Precious did that grace appear. My first believing, the Lord has promised good to me.
His word, my hope, secure. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will reach me home. When we bend there 10,000 years, Christ shining at the sun, we fall as dead to sing God's praise. And when we curse Him,
now the learning hymn, 547. I do that for a second.
I told Melanie and Savetta I'm going to have to get some new songs. Y'all are just hearing the same thing I know over and over and over, so I will try and do that. But we really have had some difficulties trying to get this to work, which always makes me think that the devil doesn't want me to sing it. that there's somebody here that maybe needs the encouragement of the song, and he would just prefer I didn't. So hopefully we can give him a black eye, and maybe I can sing. I did not practice this morning, so you get to hear me practice right now.
Peggy, I don't think we'll ever get tired of hearing that, okay? Our offertory sentence this morning, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you see, it will be measured to you. Will our ushers please come forward?
Let us pray. Lord God, blessings have come our way, spiritual and material. We know, O Lord, that You're the giver of every good gift, the things of the earth, the material things are of Your creation. You've called us to be stewards of them, to watch over them, to care for them. Lord, You have provided for us resources by which we live, but also resources with which we can help our fellow man. Resources with which we can promote the gospel. Keep sharing the good news of Jesus. And Lord, we come to return a portion, and we thank You for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture lesson this morning is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Now, bear with me. I've got new glasses on order and hopefully they'll be here soon. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the One He loves. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. I invite you to keep your scripture passage there before you. In thinking of this sermon, preparing for it, I thought about the greetings that I am greeted with are the responses that I receive when I ask somebody how they are doing. So when you ask somebody how they are doing, or how are things with you, how do people normally respond to you? Some people will tell you things you don't want to know. Most of the time, though, when we ask someone, are we really ready for a serious answer, anything past it, I'm great. One of our privileges as the people of God is that we know how to help people whose lives are not so great. When I ask people how they're doing, and I do it often, I hear a variety of responses, answers. One will say, I'm good, thank you. Another will say, just simply, I'm good. Another will say, I'm quite well. Another will say, and I often respond when somebody asks me, I say, I'm great. And sometimes that gives them an occasion to say, what? I have said, I'm superlicious, whatever that means, but it evokes a shock response for some. Some people say, well, I'm marvelous. And then if they say that, you look them over to see if they are really marvelous. Do they not? And then some say, I'm terrible. And some of them will run from you when you respond with, I'm terrible. And others will say, well, what's wrong? But before you get through, they are likely not to be listening. Some will say, I'm not doing so good. I have one friend, he would always say, fantastic. I'm fantastic. And a friend I met here in Nolensville, some of you know him, and maybe all of you, and he may have responded with the same response that he gives to me, and it may be because I'm one of the local ministers. I'm not sure why, or if that's a response to everybody, but I'll say, how are you doing? And he'll say, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And he is. This young or middle-aged man is blessed. Not because of his material blessings or material goods or material possessions. But this man is a Christian, a believer in Jesus Christ. One who is trusting in Jesus. And he, therefore, is blessed. And we are too. We who are trusting in Jesus are blessed beyond measure, beyond our comprehension. We've been a part of this kingdom of God for so long, sometimes we take it for granted. And as you read the scriptures, we are reminded that it's our blessings in Christ are not things to be taken for granted. And they're not just casual things that we can kind of look over, but that we are truly blessed. The scriptures keep reminding us. And in the depths of the summer, when we come to church a little bit sleepy, as
Kim reminded us we might be a little slow when we get here this morning, especially at the 8 o'clock service. We start a little slow, but the heat of the summer is getting next to us, and we just don't feel as excited as we do in the springtime or in the fall, and when the air is a little brisker, and when things are dry, we might become quite complacent or casual about our blessings in Christ. But the Scriptures remind us, and especially this Scripture. Now, I'm going to confess, if you read this passage that we have before you this morning in the King James, man, it gets deep. And someone said in the Greek, this passage before you was, for Paul, was one long sentence. One sentence. He said it all in one sentence. But Paul had a habit of stating run-on sentences, as we learned in school somewhere along the way. He ran on, but he was telling such marvelous things. He couldn't stop. He didn't have time for a period. He wanted to keep going. And this is a passage that uses the word predestination over and over, but Cumberland Presbyterians rejected that doctrine years ago in the 1800s, the late 1700s. And we are predestined, but we rejected Calvin's view of predestination. So I'm not preaching on predestination this morning. That's not one of the blessings. Though God has chosen us, we understand that He chose all of us, not just a select few. And predestined all of us to experience, or have opportunity to experience, His blessings. These are, this morning I want to talk about spiritual blessings, not the material blessings that are ours. There are so many. We sing of them and talk about them Thanksgiving, don't we? And we sing that song, Count Your Many Blessings. Name them one by one. Well, we can't name them all. Like the stars of heaven or the sand, grains of sand by the sea. Some people call these spiritual blessings riches. We are made rich. We are wealthy. Or we have a wealth of God's benefits, or benefits that are ours, being a part of the kingdom of God. Todd Riley picked out five from this passage. He's correct. Riches that are ours in Christ. But let me say, these are only a sampling of the blessings that are ours through Christ. But let's look at these. One of the blessings of being in Christ is that we are chosen to be there, or to be here. I like to talk about here. It's not something out there, it's here. We are chosen to be part of God's family. There's a song that I like to sing, and I'm so glad, I think it's a Gaither song, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Washed in the blood, I don't know all the words to it, it's in our hymnal. Just that we are a part of the family of God. And I think we all like being a part of a family. My wife discovered something this weekend, and she just got overjoyed of who some of her ancestors are. She's worked on this for 20 plus years, and this weekend she discovered that she has a famous ancestor. Actually, it was an uncle. But this famous person, his brother, was her direct, or she is a direct descendant of this famous person. I'll let her tell all about it. And she got elated that she was a part of this family, because he made a mark in history of these United States. She has names. Well, we don't have that in our family, so I married above myself, I guess, huh? I married up. And that's good. If you can, it's bad for her. But she's adjusted to it quite well. But are we pleased that we are part of a family? That we have a family? And I look out here and I know something about, and they're right in front of me, so Susan and John's family. And then Steve and Gail married into that family, and they're part of a great family in this community. And they've been around a long time. But then Gail, her family has been here the 40s. So we move over here to the Pink. They're still newcomers, aren't you? But you were born here, but you're still considered a newcomer. But you've come from a family. When I first met his dad, he told me kind of who their family was. And that was, what, almost 20 years ago. And Mr. Mosley was pleased to be a part of this family. And we all are. These people are right in front of me now. Your family. Don't know much about your family. Didn't know your ancestors, but your mom. We do know her. And most of us, some may be of a family that they wished they were not a part of, but there's something good about that family if it produced you. Okay? Don't despise who your parents were. And if they were not what you would hope that they would have been, and you got to this point, there's something that helped you get to here. My family history is questionable in some people's eyes, but that's okay, you know. I'm proud to be a part of that family. Okay, we're part of a family. We are chosen by God, and somebody put it, we are picked. We are set apart. We are selected. Now, some people got selected for the war, for the army, a long time ago. How many of you have got a letter from the draft board saying you have been selected? Now, we didn't want to be selected there. Pete got one, others got one. You got selected. But some people were anxious to be selected. The young man just signed up for the Marines, or went to talk to the Marine person. One of the fears is that he might not be selected. Has a vision problem, so he might not be selected. But he don't know yet, but there's a concern there. But isn't it good to be selected? Especially, it's good not to be overlooked. God chose us. God chose us to be a part of His family. A rebellious people, a people that in Adam says, God, we don't really want to be a part of Your family. We want to serve the devil. What? Her action, Eve's action, and Adam's action showed. They didn't want to be in the family. They wanted to rebel, and they did rebel. But not just Adam and Eve, we have rebelled. We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God loves us anyway, and He keeps on loving us through our sin, and He reaches down and says, I want you to be a part of my family, every one of us. And He sent Jesus to give us that message. He sent Jesus to tell us, I want you to be a part of my family. God sent His own Son. Or He came in the person of Jesus. We are chosen not because of anything special in us. And we go back to Abraham in the 12th chapter of Genesis. And when God chose Abraham to be the father of His people, His special people, His people to be blessed, that He would bless in a special way, in order that they might be a blessing to the rest of the world. And the second part never got carried out very well. They got excluded. There was nothing special about Abraham. He was willing. He was doubtful. He questioned a lot, but God still used him. But it's by God's grace that Abraham was chosen. It's by God's grace that we're chosen. Nothing special about us. We haven't earned it. We don't deserve it. We keep harping on that, but sometimes Christians get to the point of saying, just like the descendants of Abraham, we deserved it. We were chosen because we ought to have been. We earned it.
On the playground, people are chosen because they're of their ability. If you don't have ability to succeed in whatever game it is, you're likely not to get chosen. But it's not so with God. It's just because He loves us. He chose us. We are chosen by God. And we are chosen for a purpose. And the purpose is that we be holy and blameless. Now, two marvelous words, two very holy, especially two very, a very biblical word. And the blameless, we don't use that as much, but it's still a good biblical word. We are chosen by God to be His people and to be holy. He makes us holy. What does holy mean? It means set apart. It means different. It means not common. It means of a divine nature. Did I say special? Blameless. He chose us that when we stand before Him each day or at that great judgment day, there will be no blame against us. There will be nothing in our lives that we can be blamed for. He's chosen us that when we stand before Him for the great judgment day, but when we stand before Him right now, or when we stand before Him at the end of this day, that we come blameless, without blame against us, without charges against us. He wants us to come before Him holy and blameless. He chose us that way. He chose us to be holy and blameless. And He also chose us, Ephesians 2:10, to do good works. We have to break out of this passage just a little bit. He chose us to be at work in His kingdom for His honor and for His glory. To be involved in good works. Hopefully this is what our group is doing in Southeast Oklahoma. They're worshiping today. That's a good work. Tomorrow they'll start doing some physical activities. Hopefully those are good works. Now why do we have to go all the way to Oklahoma to do it? That's another question. We don't have to. But people from Texas come here and do good works. And it's just kind of an outing or a vacation for some of them. So, one of the blessings or one of the riches of being in Christ, being a Christian, is that God chose us. Oh, that's before we became Christian. That's kind of preliminary to becoming a Christian, isn't it? That's before, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Second thing, we are rich in Jesus because God chooses us to be His sons and daughters. Or He adopts us into His family. We talk about being a part of the family. We who rebelled, we who said to God, leave me alone and let me live my own life, or you don't trust me to do anything right. You parents have heard that, haven't you? Your parents heard it too, I bet, didn't they? That's the good part. We're no different than our children are not much different than we were. Let me live my own life. But we said that to God, in a sense, have we not? Many of us have said, we don't have time for you, God, or don't be so strict on us, God, or don't try to be so controlling to us, God. God is a great God and a great Father. God is a loving Father, and God loves us. God wants the best for us, and God gives us good things. Yes, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, cares for us, listens to us,
protects us, a God who hath our future taken care of, a God who is committed to training us and shaping us, a Father who never will abandon us, and as someone put it, considers us to be the apple of His eye and His treasured possession. That's the kind of Father we have. We're the apple of His eye. And how do you figure this one out? But every one of us, individually, we're all the apple of His eye. He loves us all. I've been reading Jacob and Esau and Isaac, their father, and it said the father loved Esau and the mother loved Jacob. And I read those historical accounts and I can't understand that. Got over to Joseph, and Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. He was special in the eye of Jacob. Joseph was. But in God's eye, we're all equal. We're all special. Number three, one of the riches that are ours as Christians is that we had our sins forgiven. And that's rich. There is no greater blessing than to have our sins forgiven. And we might have just been little sinners, but that still, that sin separates us from God. That those little sins, as we have classified them, those little sins will keep us out of heaven. But Jesus paid for our sins. He paid for every sin that we have committed, every sin that we will commit, every sin past, present, and future. Look at verse 7, if you will. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, of the forgiveness of our sin, according to the riches of His glory, or of His grace, according to the riches of His grace. Peggy sang about a song that said, Jesus says, what sin? We keep bringing it up. And He says, what sin? I've forgiven you that if you confessed it and trusted Him to take it away. And He says, what sin? So we're not blamable anymore. That sin is removed. Separated from us as far as the east is from the west. That's all the way around the world. We used to think on the other side of here would be China. So that's as far away as China is. Or maybe to outer space, we could say today. A person has no greater need than the need to be forgiven of their sin. No other need comes before our need for forgiveness in the priority of important things. All of us are sinners. If we say we're not, we're alive. The Bible says that. All of us are guilty of breaking God's law. The Bible declares that the consequences of sin is death and judgment. And we deserve that. The Bible tells us that we deserve it. Scriptures also declare that God is loving, merciful, and gracious, and that He has provided a way, or made a way, for His people to be reconciled to Him, or be forgiven of their sin. Jesus was nailed to Calvary, nailed to the cross at Calvary, shed his blood. And he instituted the Last Supper, Matthew 26, and it's verse 28. He spoke of the fruit of the vine, representing his blood shed for the remission or the forgiveness of sin. And there's room at the cross for every one of us. Not overcrowded. The space for all of us to come to the foot of the cross. And then a fourth thing, we have been blessed with wisdom and understanding in God's plan. I had an opportunity this week. A person said to me, this is kind of sad on my part, though. The person said to me, when I read the Bible, I don't understand it. And I go and get him a more readable version. But the sad part, as I said, I've got a readable version, maybe in the car. And I went to the car, and there wasn't one there. I was going to give him a little, one of those little, the Great News, New Testaments. And I kind of joked about it. I went back in, and I said, I've waited 18 years in this community to have a serious question asked at that coffee-drinking table. And I've waited 18 years for it. And when the question was asked, I wasn't prepared. I didn't have a Bible in my car. A readable one. But I told him everything I thought he could remember in 5 minutes there. And I said, let me go get a Bible and give it to you that you can mark it in there. Well, 2 days later, I did get the Bible to the person. The sad part is I didn't keep that Bible in my car. Somebody must have cleaned it out because I certainly didn't. But part of his problem may have been King James is hard reading. I mean, I know that. I keep talking about it. Others say, oh, it's beautiful. It is beautiful if we can understand it. Maybe it's beautiful because we don't understand it. But part of his inability to understand what he reads is he's not open to the Holy Spirit. I don't mean it's judgmental. It can happen to all of us that we're not allowing God's Spirit to reveal this stuff, this information, this valuable, these truths to us. And we take this Holy Spirit. That's what Paul said to the Corinthians. These spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned. And the normal thinking and the normal mind can't comprehend or can't understand. Somebody even put it, all that the unchristian or non-Christian can understand about the words of the Bible is how to become a Christian. How to be saved. Maybe some can understand a little more than that, but it makes more sense to the Christian than it does to the non-Christian. It's good to be in the know, to know what's happening and what's going on. And the work of the Holy Spirit enables us to know what's going on in God's Word as we read it and what it means for our life today, how we can apply it, and how what it means for our future. We have been given wisdom and understanding. And that comes through the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit. The Christian is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Some people want to talk about the Holy Spirit indwelling a person or living in a person being a second work of grace. I understand. And I believe the Bible teaches that when you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you. Then, not as a second work of grace, there may be special outpourings of the Holy Spirit or special revelations of the Holy Spirit later. I guess we get to this point and the question is, does it get any better than this? Chosen by God. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Forgiven. Holy and blameless before Him. But there is much more. He's also our advocate with the Father. Jesus is. And then He's provided for us, prepared for us, a home in heaven. But that's still just a sampling. All of these blessings, do they not call for us to praise God? Do they not invoke in us thanksgiving, responses of thanksgiving, that we would bow down before Him? Or do we say, oh, we deserve it? We do. They call for us to bow down before Him. They call for us to sing to Him. They call for us to pay homage to Him, because He is worthy. But the tendency is to take these blessings and keep them to ourselves. And that's where the breakdown comes with the church in the United States of America. That's where the breakdown comes. When we take these riches that God has given to us and keep them to ourselves, or only talk about them in the Christian community, and we never pass them out. We never distribute them to the unchristian world. We never go and tell the story of Jesus. But we need to. And that's part of our calling. If you're here this morning and are not a Christian, Melanie and Savannah, if you're not a Christian, you can have these blessings. God has chosen. He wants to redeem you from sin and Satan. He wants to let His Holy Spirit be within you. 326 is the number. Let's stand together and sing. And it's a commitment. I surrender all. Maybe you need to surrender publicly. And come before this congregation and say, I surrender to Jesus Christ. Give my life to Him. And claim Him as my Lord and Savior. I know I've been chosen. And I want to say, yes, I will serve. And trust Jesus to have our lives made blameless and holy. To be of service to Him. 326. I surrender all.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, anew. calling, O sinner, come home.
Lord God, we thank you that you choose us and you enable us to hear the call. You give us the courage and the strength and the hope to respond and say yes. Lord, we pray for this group of people here. Bless us as we go forth and let us not hoard the riches that are ours in you, but give us the excitement of sharing them with the unsaved world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Singing.